Thank you, David. Do you recognize just what a radical heart transformation needs to take place for somebody to say, may Christ be all and I be nothing? Thank you, David, for that. Well, our text today, Isaiah chapter 42, beginning in verse 10, verses 10 through 13, they're found in your bulletin today. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 10 through 13. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. Let the desert and its cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare His praise in the coastlands. The Lord goes out like a mighty man, like a man of war. He stirs up His zeal. He cries out. He shouts aloud. He shows Himself mighty against His foes. Today we're going to look at singing to the Lord a new song. Now there's something special about music. There was something special in the music we just heard. And I'm appreciative of that. Now yesterday was the 335th birthday of a rather eminent composer and musician, Johann Sebastian Bach, J.S. Bach. And Bach placed the annotation S.D.G. at the top of each and every one of his compositions. S.D.G. standing for Soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. Bach recognized that his musical talent came from God. And he wanted God to be glorified in it. And today, as we listen to Bach's compositions, we see a beauty that transcends our normal experience. I know there have been many times in my own life where I've been lifted up to the heavenlies by listening to his music. Yet as important as melody and rhythm and meter and all those other things might be, it's far more important that we listen to and sing music that contains God-glorifying lyrics, just as what we just heard. As seen in the hymns that we sang this morning, good lyrics can also remind us of God's presence in and care for our lives. In fact, I chose this morning's hymns with the aim of reminding us of God's presence with us during this uncertain time. While many around us are fearful to the point of panic, we have the calm assurance that Christ will never leave us nor desert us, and many of those old hymns just reinforce that in our lives. And so today in our text, we're told that the people of God are commanded to sing a new song and to sing that new song to the Lord. Now, there are plenty of older songs in the Christian's repertory, such as some that we sang this morning. And those can be examples of this new song as well. Just because something is old in years doesn't disqualify it from being a new song any more that something that is new and novel doesn't necessarily place it in the category that we see here in our text. Now, it might be helpful for us for a moment to think about what it is that makes a song a new song in relation to our Lord and as we see in our text today. So let's come up with two categories of songs. Let's put old songs on one hand and new songs on the other. And as I stated, it's not just age that makes a song old. And it's not the fact that a song is recent that makes it new. An old song is one that has old aims, old purposes, old impacts. While a new song is one that exemplifies new aims, new purposes, and that has a new impact. An old song is one that glorifies the old order, that order of sin and death and destruction. A new song is one that, while it glorifies the Ancient of Days, as we sang just a little bit ago, shows us a newness of life that comes only from Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The old song is the song of self, the song that places us in the center. See, the old song is not one that's going to say, let Christ be all and I be nothing. The old song is going to say, let me be all and let Christ kind of have a place down the line. The new song is the song of Him, the song that places God where He rightfully belongs, and that is at the center of all attention. The old song tells us that we're going to be okay because we are in control. The new song actually tells us that because we cannot control anything, we need to rely on the only one who does. The old song lulls us into the stupor of not recognizing our need. The new song awakens us to the glory of God's provision for all who will trust in Him. The old song entertains us. The new song glorifies Christ. So as a result, an ancient hymn such as Martin Luther's A Mighty Fortress Is Our God is a new song. And it could very well be that the latest quote-unquote praise chorus, if it is one that does not magnify God but rather exalts man, could actually be an old song. The difference between an old song and a new song is a difference of focus, a difference of impact, a difference of purpose. So here in our text, the people of God are commanded to sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, we sing for His benefit. We sing to offer Him praise. We sing to honor Him with our worship. Now stop and be honest for a moment. When we were singing those hymns of the faith a few moments ago, who were you singing to? Were you singing so that others could hear your melodious voice? Were you singing in order to exalt yourself? Or were you singing from out of a grateful heart, wanting God to hear your praise, wanting Him to be glorified in your life, no matter what anybody else around you was thinking? Even if the lyrics we sang were those of an old song, were you actually singing them were those of a new song? Even if those lyrics were ones we were singing that were those of a new song, were you actually singing them in an old song kind of way? It truly is all about the state of our hearts. Are they in tune with Him, wanting Him to be glorified? Or instead, are they totally in tune with our desires, wanting something else? This is an important matter for each of us to consider each and every time we sing. Revelation 14:3 tells us that the people of God will sing a new song before the throne. This new song, we're told there in Revelation 14, is one that only the people of God can sing. No other being can sing this song because no other has a heart that is attuned to His worship. We will sing His new song forever. We will glorify Him with our praise for eternity. Now stop and think for a moment. If you really don't like singing praise to God now, you probably don't want to be in heaven. If for somehow your heart can't open up to singing praise to God, with open up your heart to Him in worship, then you won't be happy in heaven. Because we're going to praise Him, we're going to sing that new song forever. And we're going to be totally fulfilled in doing so. Is that something that you desire? Being in the presence of God and glorifying Him forever? If not, then it might be that you're too enamored with the old songs of this present age. I'm afraid that far too often we sing what we think is the new song, but instead we might be deluded and we might actually be singing the old songs of corruption instead. Now, we shouldn't wait until we're before the throne to sing the new song. We should be singing it right now, and we should be singing it everywhere. In our text this morning, we read that this new song, His praise, is from the ends of the earth. Down by the sea and the coastlands, His song, this new song, should be heard. Out in the desert and in the busiest of cities, His song, this new song, should resound. In the cities of all the nations, even nations that haven't known Him before, His song, the new song, should be learned. From the highest mountain peak all the way down to the deepest pit, the sound of His song, the new song, is expected. Think about Saul, or Paul the apostle, and Silas. Think about when they were thrown there in that prison in Philippi, in the deepest of dungeons, at midnight after they've been beaten with rods. What are they doing? They're singing the new song. They're singing praise to Christ. Their circumstances were such that most people would say, how can it be that you're singing songs of praise? You've just been unlawfully arrested. You've just been beaten with rods. You've just been thrown in the deepest of dungeons. What do you have to sing about? Well, in that deepest of pits, Christ was still there with them. And they wanted to sing the new song, and they sang the new song, and God acted miraculously. Now, during the life of Jesus, the religious authorities during Jesus' day, those people that were singing an old song, they complained that the people of Jerusalem were offering Jesus praise during His entrance to the city on Palm Sunday. Those people offering praise were singing a new song to the Lord. Jesus rebuked those authorities by telling them that even if the people were silent, the rocks themselves would cry out in praise. That is because this broken world, while it groans in anticipation of its redemption, is waiting to sing the new song along with God's people. The effects of the fall of man were felt by all creation. And all creation now anticipates the newness that only Christ can give. Verse 12 in our text says, let them give glory to the Lord. Now the them are found in the preceding verses. Yes, it speaks of the inhabitants of the various places, those people of God's possession. But our verses also say that praise comes from the cities. Praise comes from the deserts. Praise comes from the villages. We read in the Psalms that the heavens declare the glory of God. Even the stars sing His praises. Even if no man ever sang His praise, even if no man ever sang that new song, His glorious creation would testify to His power and might and would sing out. Even if all of mankind continued in rebellion, God would be glorified in the work of His hands. But God has not left mankind to its own devices. He has brought about the redemption of many. He has chosen for Himself a people to proclaim His goodness. He has appointed a church to sing His new song. Look again at verse 13, if you would. The Lord goes out like a mighty man. Like a man of war, He stirs up His zeal. He cries out. He shouts aloud. He shows Himself mighty against His foes. The mighty warrior stirs up his zeal. And in doing so, he puts his zeal in the hearts of redeemed sinners. He vanquishes his enemies by his power. Now, some of his enemies will face his wrath in judgment. But others of his enemies he defeats by his love. He actually turns rebellious sinners into obedient saints by the power of His love. He shouts aloud through His church what He has done to redeem lost sinners. He uses the one in whose hearts He has given the new song to sing that song in the presence of the lost. What loving act has He performed in order that His people might learn the new song? He came in person to teach that song. God became a man in the person of Christ Jesus. He sang the song every day of his human life, that song of praise and obedience to the Father. Now, I don't want us to ever underestimate the importance of Jesus' perfect obedience for our salvation. Without his perfect obedience, without the perfection of his singing the song of praise to his Father, he would not be that perfect, spotless Lamb of God that we need to take away our sin. Yes, his death on the cross is of great importance. Yes, his glorious resurrection is indispensable for our salvation. But equally important is his perfect life. That life that made his death and his resurrection a reality for us. He sang that new song each and every day of his life. He sang that new song in the Garden of Gethsemane when he told the Father, "Not my will, but yours." He sang the new song when he was in torment on the cross and offered forgiveness to his enemies and salvation to the thief next to him. He sang the new song when he told Mary Magdalene to go tell his disciples that he was risen. And he is actually singing that new song right now while he intercedes for his church before the throne of his Father. He calls us to sing the new song. To sing the new song, we need a new heart. Our old hearts, the hearts that are dead, are singing that old song. Hearts that are deceitful and wicked and cannot be trusted. Our old hearts are dead in trespasses and sins and only know the old song. Yes, they might be pumping blood through our veins, but they are not providing life for our souls. For that, we need a new heart. We need a heart transplant that will put us in tune with the new song. That new heart, the heart that only He can give, will live forever. And will sing the new song forever. That new heart will never grow old. It will never fail to sing the new song. It will sing the new song as long as eternity endures. And it will rejoice always while it is singing that new song. How do we get that new heart? How can we sing the new song? Before I answer that, let me remind you of something that Jesus said the night before he died. In John chapter 14, verse 1, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Is your heart troubled today? Are you fearful for what is happening, not knowing what tomorrow will bring? I fully recognize that we've experienced a sea change these past few days. Something that nobody could have ever anticipated. There are things happening right now that we have never seen in our lives. Now, this is a cause for concern, but for many people, it's a source of fear. But Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And then he followed it up with these words, "Believe in God, believe also in me." And a couple of verses later, in verse 6 there of John chapter 14, Jesus said these wonderful words, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Recognize today that the new heart is only available through Christ. It's only through Him. He is the way and the truth and the life. He is the only way to the Father. In order to get a new heart, in order to sing the new song, we must turn from everything else. We must turn from that old song. And we must place our full faith and our full trust in Christ. Let Christ be all, and I be nothing. Coming to Christ requires a change of direction. We turn from sin and repentance, and we turn to Christ in faith. They're really just the two sides of the same coin. Turning from sin, turning to Christ. And when this happens, when we turn to Christ in faith and away from our sin, He gives us a new heart. He produces in us new life through the new birth. And He implants in us the new song, the song of praise to God that gives Him and Him alone the glory. And it is then and only then that we can rightfully say that our lives are SDG. Soli Deo Gloria. Gloria, for the glory of God alone.